Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service. So last time we talked about being soldiers in the war. And make no mistake, it is a war. We're fighting a battle every single day with the devil. Every single day. We're fighting against things in the spirit realm. We're fighting against things. It's not something we can see. It's not an enemy like when Dennis and Pastor fought that he could try to take a punch at. It's an enemy that we don't see, but we know he's there. We know he's trying to do his work, but we've got a bigger God. Amen. Amen. And our God's given us his whole armor to use. We talked about that last week. And I was doing my study and I ran across in the Message Bible. I don't do a whole lot with the Message, but every once in a while they get it right. And so I wanted to, as kind of a quick review, share with you the version from the Message Bible about the armor. It says, starting at verse 10, chapter 6 in Ephesians, it says, "And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own." I'm going to read that again. "Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll be standing still on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon." Amen. I like that. I like the way that lays it out in plain English. But there's a verse that we always miss when we talk about the armor of God. It's that next verse. It's verse 18. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And if you're like me, you kind of have to read that two or three times because that's a mouthful, the way they've got it there. So I started looking at it a little bit, and I wanted to understand what God was trying to tell us there. So I dug in, got out my Strong's Concordance, and got out some fancy tools on the computer, because I don't speak Greek and Hebrew. But there's some smart people who do that put out some really nice books that help us with that. So I looked at the word prayer as it's used there. And it's the Greek word prosake, which means worship, prayer, earnest conversation, especially with God. Earnest conversation. And then I looked at supplication, which is the Greek word deisis, which means petition, beseech, or make a request. So he's saying there that we're supposed to worship and pray and have an earnest conversation, and that that includes a petition or a request. So that, can I tell you, it's okay to ask God when you need help?
Amen.
Can I tell you that we're instructed in Ephesians to ask God when we need help? It's not just something we can do, it's something we should do. We have instructions from on high that that's what we're supposed to do. And then when you look at the word perseverance, it means persistency, to be earnest, constantly diligent, to wait upon and to continue in. Can I tell you that sometimes the answer to your prayer doesn't come the moment you pray?
Amen.
Matter of fact, it's pretty rare when it's one and done. I don't very often pray and get an immediate answer. I wish I would. I've often talked to the Lord about that, and he hasn't really changed his behavior, though. I tell you what, though, I would love it if it worked that way, but it doesn't. We have to be persistent. We have to persevere. We have to be willing to keep going back and keep going back until we get our answer. Let's look at that in the Amplified version for a minute, because I like the way they brought it out. It says, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people." That means we're supposed to pray for each other as well, not just for me and my four and no more, but each other. That means as soldiers in this army, we're not fighting by ourselves. As soldiers in the army of God, we have a responsibility to each other, to the other soldiers in the army. Just like in the army, the United States military, when they go out and fight, they don't go fight by themselves. They go out in force. And they've got each other's back. Especially when you look at some of the special operations units like the SEALs, they don't leave a man behind, no matter what. We should be just that dedicated to this fight, that we're not going to leave one of our brothers or sisters behind. We're not going to leave them to stand out there and fight on their own. We're going to fight with them, no matter what. And since the message did so good on the first part, I thought we'd look at it again also. It says, in that same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. I like that. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Amen. I like that because it's, again, it's plain and clear. And I tell you what, I go back to it, but persistence is so critical because there are times when we're going to have to stand and fight together for a long time to get an answer. I'll give you an example. We talked about the mess I had going on with my face. The doctor wanted to call it Bell's palsy, which I was glad it was that instead of the stroke word. And half of my face didn't work. I'll take the Bell's palsy over the stroke, but that wasn't going to work for me. And I told God it's not going to work. And my dad started praying, and Pastor and Val were praying, and everybody in the church was praying. But we had to keep praying. Because I prayed, I got up the next day, looked in the mirror, smiled, and half of my face moved, and the other half didn't. Okay, well, we're going to have to pray a little longer. So I prayed some more, smiled the next day, half of my face moved, the other half didn't. Kind of started to get used to looking at it, and I started to kind of get a little bit discouraged. And thankfully, I had some people who kept kind of prodding me to keep praying and keep standing in there. And I finally got serious with God, and I said, God, I've got to preach Sunday night, and I don't want to stand up there with half of my face working. You got to do something about this. And I started praying more earnestly, like it said, to have an earnest conversation with God. And that night when I got up here to preach, it was already going away. I went to the eye doctor this week because I had had a struggle with this eye. It wouldn't close right. Went to the eye doctor. She walked in because she had seen me a couple of weeks ago. I was coming back for the follow-up. She walks into the room, and she says, wow. She says, smile at me. So I smiled. She says, now close your eyes. And I closed my eyes, and they both closed right. She said, well, raise your eyebrows. So I raised my eyebrows, and they both went. And she's just sitting there with this astonished look on her face. So she gets over there, and she gets the thing out and looks in my eyes and checks them all out. She kind of rolls her seat back, and she says, what did you do? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what did you do? I said, well, we started on the steroids and all that stuff that the doctor told me to do because I believe in doctors. I ran to the doctor as soon as that was happening because if he's got something that'll help and God wants to use him, I'm all for it. I said, well, I did the steroids. And she goes, no, the steroids won't fix that. All they do is keep it from getting worse. What did you do to fix that in 2 weeks? I said, well, I've been praying and my church has been praying and people have been standing in faith with me. And she looked at me and I wanted to just shout. She said, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you've got a doctor that will give God glory, when you've got a doctor that says, that's a miracle, because that was the next thing out of her mouth, is she said, that's a miracle. She said, it does not get fixed that quick. That's a 4 to 6 month problem that you should have had. She said, 2 to 3 weeks is unheard of. She said, I have never seen it. And I've got 4 or 5 patients right now that are several months in still struggling with the same condition. So I'm telling you, earnest prayer works. It works when we're willing to keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. And Jesus talked about that in Luke 18. He shared a parable, and it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. So he went on and he said, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. She had came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, meaning because she keeps coming back and she keeps coming back and she keeps coming back, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, this woman's wearing me out. She won't leave me alone. She's just going to keep coming back until I do something. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So in other words, if this unjust judge who doesn't fear God, has no regard for man, can eventually be moved by continual prayer, continual coming to him, how much more will God be moved when we come to him and we're willing to continue and continue and continue and press in and push? So when we're in that battle, we're not just supposed to put on the armor and go out and fight. We're also supposed to pray. And we're supposed to get a hold of God on that, because we have a resource that will back us up. We have a God that will take care of us, that will give us the strength that we need, the power that we need, the authority that we need, whatever it is that we need going into that battle, whether it's healing a face or giving us comfort when we need it or anything that we're going after. That prayer is so critical, Brother Leonard. And I tell you what, though, it's not just prayer when we need it. It's not just when I need something that I go to God. We should be praying constantly. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever have another conversation, that all you can do is pray 24/7. What he meant was pray consistently, pray constantly. Have a relationship with God. Be at a point where you're talking to God all the time. Because I tell you what, you don't have to be in these altars to pray. You can pray at home. You can pray on your job. I tell you what, when I was in school, every time there was a test, there was prayer in schools. Jenna, am I right? Amen? Sometimes you need to pray a little harder. That's all right. We'll talk about that later. Pray long and hard, remember? No. But I tell you what, you can pray on your job. You can pray driving in your car. Just do me a favor. Don't close your eyes when you're driving if you're praying. Please don't do that. But you can pray anywhere because God is with us always. And you can pray anywhere because when Jesus went to the cross, he bought us direct access to the Father. We are to come boldly before the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. And that can happen anywhere, anytime. We can get to the throne room from our car. We can get to the throne room when we're here praying together as a corporate body. We can approach that throne anytime. We have automatic access to it. You know, years back, I had a job where I had a secretary. That was nice. I miss having a secretary, brother. That was beautiful. And one of her jobs was to handle my phone calls and make sure that only certain people got through and that she kind of screened the calls and took care of stuff. But there was a rule. It was before I was married, because the rule would have been different if I was married. But the rule was, if my mother calls, it doesn't matter where I'm at, doesn't matter what I'm doing, that call comes through. Because she was important and I did not want her calls screened out. Can I tell you that when you're a child of God, that rule applies to you and your call doesn't get screened out. When you reach out to the throne of grace, you have direct access. There's nobody going to screen your call. You don't have to go through anybody else to get to God. You have immediate, direct access to his throne. Try calling the President of the United States. You won't get him. But you can get a hold of the God and master of this universe. You can get a hold of God, and that's where the real power is with God. Oh, Lord. I tell you what, that's pretty awesome that that actually goes with being a Christian, is we have automatic access to the Father. And you know, sometimes when we pray and we pray and we pray, sometimes part of what we need to do is understand that God's going to do what God's going to do. And he knows better than we know what's going on. He sees down the road further than we see. He knows that sometimes what we want isn't the right thing for us. He knows that sometimes there's something just around the corner that's going to change everything. But if he were to just say yep to that prayer and do it immediately, we'd miss out. So sometimes the answer to the prayer is yes. I like those answers. Sometimes the answer's not right now. I don't like that one as much. Sometimes the answer's no. And that's hard to swallow sometimes. But it's not no because God doesn't care. And it's not no because God doesn't understand. Sometimes it's no because he knows better and he's getting something better ready for us down the road that we don't even see yet. Or sometimes it's no, because answering that prayer is actually going to harm us if he were to say yes to that. And you know, Jesus gave us a great example of prayer and going back and how to really deal with the Father's will when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want us to go there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26 and we'll start at verse 36, because I want you to really look at this. It said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. See, he didn't go alone. That's a weird thing on the screen. I don't know what's going on with that. What did you do? I can tell you we haven't used this verse since Pastor did a sermon where he had something about chickens in it, because I remember putting that on there. So at least this is fresh stuff. You haven't heard this in a couple of years, praise God. But Jesus didn't go by himself. He didn't go alone. He went with the disciples, and he said, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He didn't go by himself. He brought his prayer warriors with him. He brought people with him who could stand up, hold him up, pray with him. And he said, Watch with me. Pray with me. I need you. How many times do we try to go it alone? We don't want to necessarily ask for help. We don't want to necessarily ask for people to pray with us. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, asked for help. He asked for people to pray with him and watch with him. And then he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let me put that in kind of layman's terms, if you will. He said, Father, I don't want to do this. This is not what I want to do. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be painful. I know it's going to be miserable. If there's another way that your will can be accomplished, let's look for that. But if there's not, if this is the only way, then I'm willing. Then I'm willing. I want your will above mine. You know, I thought about my own prayer life. I don't often pray that way. I usually tell God what I want and hope he's going to give it to me. And that really kind of struck me like a ton of bricks when God showed that to me, that Jesus was saying, I don't necessarily want to do this, but if this is your will, I'm on board. I'm willing to do what you need me to do. So in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now that tells me that was a longer prayer than what's recorded here, because if he was gone an hour, it didn't take him an hour to have that conversation. So I'm guessing he had a long conversation with the Father. He had one of those earnest, deep conversations with the Father. And he told him again, Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was telling him again, You need to pray. You need to pray. You need to have that relationship and that connection. Because otherwise you're going to falter. You're going to be subject to temptation if you're not praying and communicating with God. So in verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He's kind of starting to figure out that the answer is no. And he's saying, I'm okay with that, God. I'm willing. I'll go. I'll do it if it's your will. Sometimes we've got to be willing to have that conversation with the Lord and say, you know, this isn't really my plan, God, but if this is what you need, if this is what you want, I'm willing to go. I'll fight the battle your way. I'll do this your way. Because a lot of times we want him to activate our battle plan. We go in and we tell God our plan instead of saying, God, what should we do? We go in and say, God, here's exactly what I want you to do. Now, if you could just move this mountain over here and move that mountain over there, and if you could get my wife to do this and my kids to do that and all these other things, life will be good. Okay, amen. And then I imagine God's going, no, that's not really going to work that way, but we don't hear him because we don't stop and listen. We just quickly tell him what we need, quick amen, and down the road we go. Jesus spent an hour in the first prayer, and I believe he probably spent an hour in the second prayer, because again he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So he went back one more time to the Father, and he said, If this is the only way, then I'm ready. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do it, because I love them enough. I'm willing. Because see, he had to be willing. It wouldn't have worked. God wouldn't have forced him to do that. He had to be willing to love us enough to lay down his life. The Bible says no greater love than this that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was willing to go through that for us because it was the Father's will and because he knew that God wouldn't send him to do it if there was any other way. And then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. In other words, he was making that statement that it's time. I'm good. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I've prayed. I've gotten the answer to my prayer, and I'm ready to go. You know, that's powerful to watch that Jesus went back three times to the Father. Three different times, even though he knew going in, I think, exactly what the answer was. But he was 100% God and 100% man, and the 100% man was saying, surely there's another way. Surely there's got to be another option. But he was willing to go with the Father and do what the Father said to do. I would challenge us, we've got to get like that when it's time to pray. When we're in that battle, we've got to be willing to take direction. Because to put it in the military terms, if we're in a battle, we fight it on his terms, we win the battle. Can I tell you, when we're willing to put ourselves second and put God first, we find ourselves in a whole different battle than when we're out there trying to fight it on our terms. Because, Pastor, I don't have the master battle plan, but God does. God's already seen it. He already wrote the whole book. He already told us at the end that we win. But we have to be willing to do what we're told. We have to be willing to follow His lead. You know, we were told many, many times that we're supposed to pray. Kind of like Mayor Koch used to say, vote early, vote often. We've been told to pray early and pray often. You know, in Timothy, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In Romans 12 and 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In 1 Chronicles 16 and 11, it says, seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. When you're in a battle and you need strength, that prayer piece is critical, because you have to go and seek His strength. Because like it said in the Message version, this isn't something you can do on your own. You're not powerful enough to fight this battle on your own. I'm not, Pastor's not, Dennis isn't. None of us have enough power to fight on our own. Brother Leonard's not powerful enough to fight on his own. But with God at our back, we're more than powerful enough. We're more than enough to win that battle if we're fighting it with the Lord. But sometimes what happens is we go pray and we don't wait to hear the answer, and we take off that way and God's over here trying to fight the battle for us. So often we blame God, but we actually missed it and we weren't where we were supposed to be. And we've also been promised that our prayers will be answered. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, He said, if my people, which are called by my name, that's you and I, that's us, by the way, just in case you were wondering, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're living for Him, He's talking about you. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So if we're willing to humble ourselves like Jesus did and say, Father, this is what I need. This is what's going on. This is my life. I need your help with this. And we're willing to follow, He'll take care of it. He'll answer that prayer and He'll solve what we need solved. In Psalms 55, 16 through 17, it says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. I like it when it says shall, because shall doesn't leave any room for doubt, doesn't leave any room for options. It's a promise. He shall save me. And the next verse says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Some days, I'm not sure we pray even one time in a day, let alone evening, noon, and morning. Daniel, on the other hand, ended up in a lion's den because he wasn't willing to not pray three times a day to the Lord. He was going to pray even if it meant going to a lion's den. Sometimes we can't find times in the Bible that we should be praying constantly. We should be praying consistently, continually, having that relationship. In Jeremiah 29 and 12, it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. In other words, I will pay attention to you. I will listen. You will have God's ear. Just like we talked about earlier, you have direct access to the throne. You have direct access to the Lord's ear. You can crawl up there on His lap and you can whisper a prayer in His ear. You can say, Father, I just want to talk to you and love on you for a while. Or Father, I'm in trouble and I need help. Or Father, I don't know what to do. Or Father, I need comfort. Sometimes I'll tell Him, because a lot of times when I'm praying, I'll call Him Daddy. Say, Daddy, I need you. I just need you to hold me for a while because I'm struggling with something. And then I'm just quiet before the Lord. See, sometimes we forget that part. I'm bad about that. I want to talk, 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 talk. And sometimes I think God tells me to, shh, let me talk for a minute. Yes, sir. But we can do that. We have that kind of access to the Father. And He said in Jeremiah 33 and 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Again, it doesn't say I might answer thee. It doesn't say if you're good enough, I'll answer thee. If it's an important enough prayer, I'll answer thee. It says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I tell you that my wife sometimes will pray and ask God where something is that's lost and we can't find it? There are people who will say that's silly. That's not silly, because I've seen too many times where He's directed her right to it. There are times when it seems so trivial to us, but do you know that God numbered the number of hairs on your head? That's how important you are to Him. He knows how many hairs are on your head. So He cares about all the little things that are going on in your life. He cares about what's troubling you. He cares about what you need from Him. He's just waiting for us to come and ask. Where'd it go? Here it is. Well, you know, some people it's easier to number the hairs than others. I've noticed mine's getting fewer and fewer. He's got a number. But you know what? We've received armor for the fight. We've been told the weapons that we have. We've been told to put them on and go fight the fight. But we don't have to go fight that fight alone. We have a job to do together as part of that army. Sister Val, will you help me real quick? Will you stand up here for me? I didn't warn you. I'm sorry. Just stand up here and kind of face the crowd. Oh, wow. So oftentimes we're by ourselves out there. We feel like we're fighting all alone. But can I tell you that when we reach out to our friends and we reach out to our Christian friends and prayer warriors that we know, can I borrow you, Sister Lori? Will you come stand beside Sister Val? Sister Betty, will you come stand on the other side ever for me? Sorry, I didn't know I was going to do this till just now, or I'd have warned you. Take a look now. She's not standing by herself anymore. She's got prayer warriors on the left of her and prayer warriors on the right of her. And there's more and more of us in this room who could also take that place. And then when they call for the Father, he comes and stands behind them, puts his arms around all of them. And now all of a sudden, you've got a powerful wall that the devil's going to have to work mighty hard to get through. Amen? You can sit down. Thank you so much. You know, that's powerful. Because think about back when you were in school. Because the devil's a bully. He doesn't have any power. He's just a mouse with a megaphone. He likes to yell and scream and try to scare you and get you to do stuff. When you were in school, did the bullies ever pick on the kids that hung out with other kids? No. They picked on the loners. They picked on the ones that were by themselves because they were easy marks. Bible says he's roaming around seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for the easiest mark. He's looking for who he can come after. And let me tell you, if you're standing by yourself, you don't have to stand by yourself. You have people in this church who will stand with you. You have people in your life who will stand with you. And if you're letting people in this church stand by themselves, shame on us as Christians. We should be standing together, forming that wall, telling the devil, no further, I'm not leaving my brother and sister by themselves. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you know of somebody who's standing by themselves, don't let them stand alone. And if you're standing by yourself, don't do that anymore. Reach out. You have pastors who care for you. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who care for you. We will stand with you. Don't stand by yourself. Because God didn't call you to stand by yourself. He told us in Ephesians that we were to pray for each other and not let somebody fall behind, not let somebody falter. And he also told us to pray for ourselves, but we're supposed to do it together. We're an army fighting together, not a vigilante force fighting one-on-one. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. In Hebrews 4 and 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of what we just said, because he knows how we feel, and because he can be touched by what's going on in our lives, let us therefore come boldly or confidently unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have direct instructions that we're supposed to come and get help, that there's grace available, that it's right there for us. And because we know him and because we know that he cares about us, we can walk confidently into that throne room. We can walk in there knowing he's going to hear and know that he cares and know that he will answer. Amen? And I'm going to give you a homework assignment because I didn't get to it tonight. I want you to take a look when you have a chance this week at John. Where'd it go? Lord took me all over in my notes. I had this really nice thing I was going to do with it, and he didn't let me do it tonight. But I want you to take a look at John chapter 17. That entire chapter is Jesus' intercessory prayer for us. Yeah. And if you ever want to know what Jesus thinks about you, that's a beautiful place to find out exactly what he thought about you as he talked to the Father. And there's a verse in there that I love because he says, "I'm not just praying for the disciples. I'm praying for the ones who will believe because of their words." And that's proof positive that applies to us, because we've believed because of their words and because of the words of those who've preached and brought the word to us. We're part of what Jesus is talking about. So I want you, when you read this week, take time to read that. It's not real long, but it's an absolutely beautiful image of what Jesus prayed for us. Amen. Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.